Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio network live broadcast at AM 1510 Yahoo Sports Radio. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate showtimes, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is the sacred pipe, creating the solitude of a quiet mind. But first, I want to just go over a few housekeeping details. This show is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mondays and Tuesdays, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. You can contact me anytime by emailing me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Or via my website, blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 network has over 1.2 million listeners in more than 125 countries. We have lots of great shows with new hosts joining us all the time, and I invite you to have a listen. Our last show was called Power Place, Body, Mind, and Spirit in Balance. It felt like a fitting topic in January, given that we were at the start of a new year. And by all accounts, 2014 is slated to be a year of transformation, according to all the astrological reports that I've heard. And we're talking about big transformation with even a sense of urgency attached to it. So in that show, we looked at how to balance body, mind, and spirit, how to make sure that all three of those areas were working in concert, in harmony, and how we could create a power place within ourselves as a result. So I invite you to think about how your New Year's resolutions are coming along now that we are well into February. What transformations are you up to? My New Year's resolution was to create space, to accomplish doing as little as possible. I've really been craving stillness for the past few months. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not doing great on this resolution of mine to create space. Not horrible, and there have been some achievements in that area, but I am still more busy than I want to be, tying up loose ends so that I can make room for a whole lot of nothing. So we'll see what happens. I like to think progress, not perfection. So if you're interested in hearing more about that show, Power Place, Body, Mind, and Spirit in Balance, you can find it in the dreamvision7radio.com archives. But tonight's show, The Sacred Pipe, Creating the Solitude of a Quiet Mind, feels like a really important topic for me right now to be unpacking because I have been quite busy and quite occupied with a lot of different kinds of projects requiring a lot of different types of expertise. I operate Bliss Healing Arts. I do this radio show, but I also have other consulting projects that I work on. I have an interesting job as a special education content director at a consulting firm here in Massachusetts. And so a lot of my work is so generative and creative that I often do not have a quiet mind. Even when I'm sleeping, I feel like, you know, things are running through my brain all night. And so to be able to really sit with this topic as I was preparing tonight felt really valuable to me. I also am so connected in with the sacred pipe as a sacred pipe carrier trained in the Lakota tradition. The pipe is really the key tool of manifestation and prayer for the Lakota and also other Native traditions. And it's a pretty important card as well in the Native American Sacred Path card deck that I talk about so frequently. It's a card that really represents feeling serenity and at-one-ment and experiencing life with ease because of a sense of inner balance. And I don't think that you can have inner balance if you don't have some semblance of a quiet mind going on. And I really want that quiet mind myself, a quiet heart too. And that idea of solitude coming from a quiet mind seems pretty appealing to me as well. Solitude in that sense of, you know, being alone because you want to be alone, not because, you know, you have to be alone or you just can't figure out how not to be alone. So that sense of savoring solitude in that space of quiet. So I mentioned that the sacred pipe, also called the chinumpa, is this tool of manifestation and prayer. It's a tool of peace. It was brought to the people by Taysan Wee, white buffalo calf woman, and she taught the people how to use the pipe to pray. Basically, you make your prayers and set your intentions as you're loading the chinumpa, and you're pinching those prayers into the chinchasa mixture that you eventually smoke, and then you place those prayers into the bowl of the pipe so that when you smoke it, that your prayers go up on the smoke to spirit. It's a pretty powerful manifestation tool. I am always amazed at what happens as a result of the sacred pipe ceremony. And the pipe also represents the individual person and the balancing of the male and the female. And I think with a quiet mind, you can drop deeper into your own pipe, so to speak, or into your own heart, and you can hear what those silent prayers are. You can hear that voice that speaks without words and that sort of issues up or bubbles up from deep within. And I think that a lot of us are in this place of struggle right now where, you know, we're okay, but then we spiral through feeling not okay and not really able to figure out why. And for some of us, it's because we don't sit still long enough to, you know, to figure out why, or we're afraid to know what is going on that, you know, we need to change, so we distract ourselves. That's another reason that busyness happens for so many of us. And maybe there's a way that our soul is just crying out to us, you know, that urgency for transformation that I talked about at the top of the hour just a few moments ago. And what is that for you? And if you can get into this space of a quiet mind, will you be able to hear the answers that your soul is longing for you to hear? And so why else is this so important? I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, and I think many of us who are trying to be on a spiritual path or trying to lead a really conscious life get the idea that, you know, there's only so much time you can spend looking outside yourself for the answer. You know, we've figured out that we have to kind of tap into that universe within, go within, to find our answers. I mean, that's a pretty common theme that we often hear, and there's a lot of truth in that. Although what's so interesting is that today I was looking through some materials to share with all of you listeners, and I came upon a passage in a book by David Hawkins. It's called Power Versus Force, The Hidden Determinants of Human Behavior. It's a pretty popular book in the metaphysical community. And what I came across gave me incredible pause about whether we really are going within at times. You know, we may think we are, but are we doing that, especially when we're rushed? And so I want to offer this for your consideration and give you a chance to think on it, reflect on it, and maybe share at some point what it means to you. So Hawkins explains that, quote, the notion that our actions are based on thoughtful decisions is a grand illusion. Okay, so are thoughtful decisions really, is it all illusion? So he says instead that the mind makes decisions with enormous rapidity, so very, very fast. And I think when we think about some of the decisions we make in our lives, we do kind of have that split-second decision-making process going on. And as we're doing that, our mind is taking into account millions of pieces of data, their correlations, and projections. So that's a lot of stuff, far beyond any conscious comprehension that we might be able to understand. And he says that it's really a global function dominated by energy patterns in the universe called attractors. So basically what he's saying is that we're making decisions and living our lives out of these sort of energy patterns that influence us that may not really be coming from within, right? We're kind of acted upon rather than being the actor, the driving force, or really the decision maker. Then he goes on to say that consciousness automatically chooses what it deems best from moment to moment because that ultimately is the only function of which it is capable. It's a little heady, this stuff, but hang in there with me. The relative weight and merit given to certain data are determined by, he calls it, a predominant attractor pattern operating in the individual or in a collective group of minds. So if this is the case, then it seems to me that becoming aware of those attractor patterns in us or in the collective, whichever it is vital, or just even, you know, knowing that that's a possibility, that we're living out of these patterns and not really out of sort of that quiet mind or the quiet heart, that deep place within, makes me think that it's incredibly important then to spend time cultivating the solitude of a quiet mind, right? Not operating at that fever pace all the time. And then I wonder, how much are all of these attractor patterns really getting in the way? How much of my life is controlled by them because I'm not slowing down enough to see things differently? And so when I have to make a decision, just to reinforce this, to what extent, based on this concept of attractor patterns and how much I'm always rushing around, am I not really in charge? And by the same token, if I'm not, you know, living in a conscious way to know about these attractor patterns and to, you know, operate from a different place, how am I not influencing new attractor patterns to emerge? And, you know, perhaps patterns that have a higher vibration or could bring about, you know, different results than the current attractor patterns are. So I hope you can kind of follow that largely stream of consciousness thinking that I had today. So it makes me really want to slow down when I think, gee, I'm being acted upon rather than having this sort of this ability to make my own decisions in a real way. And so the next book that came up today to kind of contribute to this topic tonight is from Mark Nepo, and I've talked about him a lot on prior shows. I love his work, and he has one book called The Book of Awakening, Having the Life You Want by Being Present to the Life You Have. And it's a book of meditations. There's one for each day of the year. And the information that seemed to pop out for sharing comes from February 14th. Which seems appropriate since Friday is Valentine's Day. And so the title of that entry is Love at First Sight. And what Mark Nepo says is that, quote, the true power of love at first sight is often missed because we insist on limiting its meaning to the sweep of falling into another person upon first meeting. So this is profound. Hang in there with me. We all walk around within the numbness of our habits and routines so often that we take the marvels of ordinary life for granted. It is first sight that opens the freshness of each moment, unencumbered by any of our habits and routines. He says that first sight, and I just love this, First sight is the moment of God's sight. Heart sight, soul sight. He calls it all of those things. God's sight, heart sight, soul sight. It is the seeing of revelation, the feeling of oneness that briefly overcomes us when nothing remains in the way. It's talked about in every spiritual tradition as the reward for being fully awake, right? I mean, can you see how first sight would be kind of congruous with that state of being fully awake? And it's a way of seeing fundamentally, about allowing things to come into view from the soul perspective. So powerful. Love at first sight, when you're really seeing someone with first sight, not a, you know, first meeting, but first sight. Gosh, if we bring first sight to everything that we do, I think that can have powerful results for us in the ways that we see the world, the decisions that we make outside of those attractor patterns. So he offers an exercise for us to do. It's four steps, pretty simple, and he says first, to close your eyes, if you're driving, of course, do not do this, but, you know, store it away for later. Close your eyes and breathe away your mind sight, your past sight, your future sight, and your wounded sight. So he talks about these four other kinds of sight that really can get in the way of first sight, right? Mind sight, past sight, future sight, wounded sight. Those are all kind of filters or lenses that we put over our vision that prevents us from the first sight or heart sight that he's encouraging us to cultivate or just uncover, really. It's there in each of us. So that's the first step. Close your eyes and breathe away your mind sight, past sight, future sight, and your wounded sight. Step two. With each slow breath, so we're slowing everything down, feel the cool air of your birth sight, your first sight. So allowing that to enter as you're slowing down your breath. Step three is to breathe slowly and imagine that the beat of your heart carries up the beginning of time sight. So first sight, beginning of time sight, your heart sight. Imagining that the beat of your heart is allowing that first sight to vibrate up. And then finally, at the moment that you feel original, he calls it, however briefly, open your eyes and bow with love to the first thing you see. At the moment that you feel original. I love that concept. Like, think about it right now. Like, do you feel original? Do you feel, like, authentic? If you do, congratulations. What does that feel like? If you don't, what do you think it would feel like if you did feel authentic or if you did feel original? How do you think you would see the world from that perspective? So that's from Mark Nepo's book, The Book of Awakenings. Okay, so this idea of heart sight, getting out of the mind, out of the place of logic and rationality, out of that space of, like, intellectualizing everything. You know how so many of us just, like, live our lives from the neck up, constantly having our mind obsess over things from the past, from the future, not really being in the present? Or if we are in the present, we're doing everything from that sort of intellectual space. And we are not that. We are not our mind, you know? We're not the thinker. Or we're not the thought. We're the thinker, or we're observing the thinker. You know that whole thing? It's like, get out of the mind. See, here I am, intellectualizing and getting stuck in the mind as I'm trying to advise us how we get out of there. And so maybe the reason to cultivate the solitude of a quiet mind is to really reach this heart sight, the first sight that Mark Nepo talks about. To really see the self from that place, to see others from that place, right? And to listen to the self from that place, to listen to another from that place, how everything shifts when we're coming from that really authentic space within us. And I think that's really a way that presence is cultivated, right? And, you know, Eckhart Tolle says, you know, the point of power is in the present moment. It's not, you know, powerful to be living in the past or to be projecting into the future. We've got to cultivate the present moment, the moment we're in. That's the only moment that we can affect. But, you know, I feel like sometimes seeing the world and everything in it from that space, that heart sight, first sight, can be kind of challenging. I mean, I'm trying to live in an authentic way and be on a spiritual path, but I get overwhelmed by the cruelty that I see in the world, by sort of those unconscious ways of being that exist. And I know I'm not alone in this, so I'm not, you know, trying to toot my own horn here. I'm just saying I do really get overwhelmed by this, you know, people's short-sightedness or the needless suffering, you know, the ways we ignore people and animals or we fail to witness the things that are going on. You know, we don't educate ourselves or we don't get involved in things. And on and on and on, you know, prioritizing in a way that doesn't let us love the planet back to health, as Anne Lamott writes in the foreword to another great book called Imagine, What America Could Be in the 21st Century. And it's a book that's a collection of essays from leading American thinkers, all writing about a vision for a better future. And so she perfectly sums up for us some of what I've been struggling with. And she says, you know, the promise in almost all fields is the same, which is that things seem too far gone, too out of balance. There's a lack of hope, an overwhelming sense that things can't be reversed. Then she goes on and says, but there have always been and always will be people who don't give up, who see what could be and how to bring that forth. And if you think, as I say all this, yeah, sure, where would I even start? The answer is that we start where we are, and we help to return a portion of the world's lost heart in the best way we know how. So on that note, I will let Peter take us to break, and I will talk with you in a few.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The Foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson-Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's gnomestedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. A Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 Yahoo Sports Radio. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about creating the solitude of a quiet mind. Right before the break, I was getting into all the ways that I kind of feel overwhelmed about what's going on in the world and having to really shift my focus to the fact that there are some pretty bad things that happen, but there are also always people who, you know, who help, who don't give up, and they figure out ways to make things better. You know, it's so funny. I'm one of those people on Facebook that sometimes kind of overdoes it on the, like, terrible things that are happening, and I wonder how many of my friends, like, hide me from their feed because I'm just such a Debbie Downer. So I'm trying really hard to, you know, balance that with sharing about things that, you know, are wonderful and, you know, where people really are making a difference. But it really is an interesting dilemma for me of feeling like we need to witness. We need to know what's going on. And some of these things are horrible, and you wish you had never seen the pictures or heard of, you know, heard about the terrible things. But then, you know, why? Why? So that we feel better or so that we remain in ignorance and, you know, these terrible things happen to people and animals and the planet? You know, like, where's the balance point and how do we figure out what our contribution to it all needs to be and, you know, the ways that we're meant to serve? So it's a little window into me and my Facebook practices. I wanted to spend this next segment talking about some of my experiences attending the Mind Body Medicine Conference out in San Francisco in January. It was the advanced training that the Center for Mind Body Medicine, which is based in Washington, D.C., holds just once a year as part of a certification program for people who want to go that route, which I did. So I was out there completing my certification, and I got to spend the time at this 5-day training where not only do you get to practice your skills running their model for mind-body skills groups, but you also get to do your own work and really go through your own processes for healing. And two things really largely emerge from the center's work, and the first is around self-awareness, and the second is around self-care. And so much of the model that they do and the vehicle for healing that happens for people, or, you know, the starting point for mind-body medicine in general really is this idea of self-awareness. And I think that's, you know, perfectly related to this idea of a quiet mind, of really, like, how do we become self-aware? Well, a lot of times it's just stopping for a second and going within, breathing a little bit, seeing, you know, how do I feel right now in this moment? How does my body feel? How does my heart feel? How does my head feel? You know, what emotions am I having? Where am I tense? And, you know, it's something that we should be cultivating, each of us, as a way to really understand what's going on for us, as a way to really communicate with ourselves on those deep levels that, you know, really we can't do if we're constantly busy and constantly distracted and constantly just unwilling to go there, you know, to go into those hard spaces. And the thing that I think is so powerful about what the Center for Mind-Body Medicine does in its model is that, you know, when a group gets together, you have a check-in. I mean, there's a whole process, of course, for the model, but one of the key ingredients is this thing they call a check-in. And the check-in is an opportunity for you to, yeah, sure, check in with the group, but it's more important that you kind of check in with yourself and where you are right now. And there's a rule with this check-in that no one is allowed to kind of jump in and sort of help you or analyze you or kind of do any kind of crosstalk, because it's not for you to kind of get involved in another person's process. So if I'm talking about what's going on for me and what's coming up for me right now, it's not a big report out of everything that's happened since the last time we met. You know, maybe, you know, a few bits and pieces from it, but all is a way to say, okay, where am I right now? And in that space of checking in with everyone, all the rest of the group is doing is listening and witnessing and seeing what's coming up for them. You know, using the opportunity of my checking in to cultivate their own self-awareness. Even to the point of, boy, when Carolyn said XYZ, I just wanted to, you know, pat her on the back, or she was crying and I wanted to give her the tissues. And what does that say about me and what my needs are and how I want to help in the world, or how it makes me feel, you know, that she was talking about her grief or loss or her overwhelm. How am I feeling overwhelmed? What am I grieving? And it is this transformative process. I cannot say enough about the power of the check-in and the power of being witnessed. And of course, that whole concept of self-awareness and how we cultivate that in ourselves really is the cornerstone of this self-care movement. And Jim Gordon, who is the director of the Center for Mind-Body Medicine, says that, you know, self-care is at the heart of the new medicine. Self-care has to be central to all care. We can no longer put ourselves blindly in the hands of the, you know, healthcare world. As well-intended as our doctors are, as knowledgeable as our doctors are, often there is sort of an incompleteness to the information, or, you know, they're just not looking at sort of the mind-body connection enough. They're not looking at the impact of nutrition decisions that we make or the environment that we live in, or including, you know, not just whether we live on, you know, in a dump site, but also sort of the relationships that we're in or the lack of relationships, how we're being nurtured on all levels, how we're, you know, being creative, how we're, you know, connected with life purpose. All of those things affect our health. And to the extent that we can be aware of those things, the extent that we can get into that space inside us that allows us to really feel and see and get the answers, and then use all of that information to care for ourselves, you know, to really give to self, to accept love from ourselves. I think, you know, a lot of us treat our pets better than we do ourselves, and I'm often guilty of that myself. You know, I'll do it if it's for the dog, but, you know, God forbid I get on, you know, the treadmill for myself, but we're definitely going on a walk because Charlie needs his exercise. You know, it's that kind of thing. That's, you know, kind of funny, but also sadly true. So really thinking about this idea of self-awareness, self-care, two really important takeaways for the show tonight. And so, unfortunately, what happens for many of us, you know, we finally learn the fundamentals of self-care during some incredibly difficult time in our lives, you know, when we get a diagnosis that we don't want, you know, we're borderline diabetic, or, you know, we have high cholesterol, or, you know, we get the big C diagnosis, or we, you know, go through a divorce or experience just an incredible loss. And, you know, we it's those things that are catalysts for us. And, there, you know, there is the, I don't know, this sounds weird to say the upside of that, because it gets you into the space of being able to and willing to take care of yourself. But I often say, why are we all waiting, or why are so many of us waiting to get a diagnosis before we do something around, you know, taking care of ourselves in a big way? And, you know, I'm not, if I point one finger at you, there's three other fingers pointing back at myself. So this is not set in judgment in any way. It's just, why do we do that? Why? I don't get it. So where am I headed with this? You know, it's something that we really need to be thinking about. You know, what can work for us? How can we take little, you know, moment by moment, be aware of what's going on? Just doing a check-in. You know, you don't have to be in a group to do a check-in. You could be driving. You could be, you know, sitting at your desk at work or in front of the classroom or anywhere, and just say, what's going on for me right now? How am I feeling? And so I offer that for your consideration, self-awareness and self-care, as we look to go to break. Time is just flying. We'll be back in a few minutes. I will let Peter take us to break, and I'll talk to you in a few.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal, to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs. Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The Foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 Yahoo Sports Radio. If you're just joining us, we are in our final segment of The Sacred Pipe, Creating the Solitude of a Quiet Mind. In the last segment, I was talking a bit about the Center for Mind-Body Medicine's Mind-Body Skills Group program and training opportunities, and specifically was focused on the importance of self-awareness and self-care and how that really needs to be at the heart of our health and well-being. It has to be central to all of our care and fundamental, really, to treating any chronic problem. I know for me, when this is a number of years ago, I think 2009, I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme, and holy smokes, did I have to really look at self-care beyond just, you know, the medications that I was on to be able to turn things around for myself. Same thing around different kind of hormonal issues that I've had, back trouble from different car accidents that I've been in, and how was I able to focus on pulling in sort of different self-care options, whether it was what I was eating or, you know, wasn't eating, what kind of, you know, body work I needed to participate in, what kind of sort of emotional work I needed to do on a lot of different levels, and really putting myself at the center and, you know, calling the shots around what my body and soul needed to heal, to move towards healing. And I think, again, our topic tonight is appropriate to discuss some of this, that idea of, like, you can't figure those things out if you're not taking the time to get quiet, to be still, to get into that sort of authentic space, that first sight and heart sight that we talked about at the top of the hour. And so, you know, Jim Gordon from the Center for Mind-Body Medicine will talk about how these mind-body groups and all of the different practices that are taught, you know, helps people, you know, who are trauma victims, help people who have depression or who are, you know, have substance abuse issues or, you know, cancer, heart disease, whatever it is, they can be helped by implementing some of these mind-body practices. And so, you know, I put forward for our consideration that the same thing is true for you and for me. And I think a lot of the reason that I try to do this work, bring this information out into the world and, you know, work with clients, whether, you know, one-on-one or in groups, is to keep myself honest, to keep this information in front of me, as well as, you know, to make sure that other people have access to it, you know, because it is really this sort of day-by-day thing that you have to keep on your radar. It's not just, you know, taking a pill in the morning to, you know, control your cholesterol. It's making these decisions and the cumulative effect of those decisions that determine our health. So now, just in the remaining time, I wanted to talk about two really important types of self-care include relaxation and meditation. And there actually is great data on relaxation and meditation and its effect on decreasing stress levels in the body, improving mood, lowering blood pressure, lowering cholesterol, improving someone's heart condition. And in many instances, the data is at least as good as surgical and pharmacological interventions. I mean, that's amazing. So you can, like, spend some time relaxing or meditating and get a result that's at least as good as the latest, you know, drug treatment. Think about that. Without all the harmful side effects, right? So I wanted to make sure that I told you about that. And I also wanted to make sure, sort of in a call to action kind of way, that you think about the ways that you can access and sort of cultivate the solitude of a quiet mind and yourself, and to take a look at all areas of your life from that vantage point. Look at your relationships. Look at your, you know, your work or life purpose, the ways that you're being creative, your spiritual life, you know, your money and finances, everything. Look at every aspect from that space of self-awareness and, you know, what is my innermost being trying to communicate to me? What am I yearning for? What's not working in my life right now? How am I out of balance? And what do I need mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically to restore some of that balance? Because our bodies want to be in balance. They want to heal. They want, their natural state is to be free from disease. And so if we can really get into that space of self-awareness and self-care, allow, you know, mind-body medicine, that medicine that, you know, comes from within us to express itself, I think we're in for some powerful shifts. And so a few different ideas for you for how, you know, well, sure, Carolyn, I can sit and breathe and think, but, you know, I don't think I can manage that for more than a couple minutes. Well, that's okay. You know, obviously start somewhere. But there are a lot of other different things that you can do. I find that drawings are a really powerful way to get information about yourself, to kind of access your subconscious mind. So a great thing that you can do, take three pieces of paper, label them 1, 2, 3, put the date on them. In the first, on the first piece of paper, your assignment is to sit quietly for a moment and then draw yourself as you see yourself now, whatever that means to you. Don't judge yourself. Don't worry that you're not, you know, Picasso. Maybe your drawings do look like Picasso. Wow. So that's the first drawing. The second drawing, you want to draw yourself with your biggest problem. Trust your mind. Let that answer emerge and then just draw it. And then the third, draw yourself with your biggest problem solved. Draw yourself with your biggest problem solved. And I've talked about this in prior shows. I mean, you may be incredibly surprised at what emerges as your biggest problem, for instance, or at what the solution to that biggest problem is. Okay, so that's a really powerful way to create some self-awareness. Biofeedback and kind of autogenic training is another great way to kind of teach your body to regulate itself just by, like, repeating certain statements. You know, my body is relaxed. My arms are heavy and warm. Repeating those kinds of relaxing statements to yourself will activate natural self-repair mechanisms, will activate the relaxation response, will quiet down your sympathetic nervous system so that you can get into that space that you need to be in for healing and cellular repair to take place. So So those are just a couple of examples, and they're all things that get talked about and experienced in mind-body skills groups. So I offer all of that for your consideration tonight for us to contemplate as we close our program. I wanted to tell you about a couple of upcoming opportunities. We are doing shamanic journeying at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, February 10th and March 10th as well. That's tomorrow night. If you're listening to the live show, we do a sacred drum circle the first Friday of the month at 7 p.m. Our next one is March 7th, and these activities take place at Bliss Healing Arts in Maynard, Massachusetts. We're also finally starting our mind-body skills group that has a weight loss focus. It's called It's Not What You're Eating, It's What's Eating You. If food issues or weight is something that concerns you and you're in the area and you want some group support, I think you'll really benefit from enrolling in the program. You can be in touch with me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com or call me at 508-481-2547. You can also check out the website and actually register there, and that's blisshealingarts.com. We'll be looking at some of the work of Sandra Ray, Kim Chernin, Marianne Williamson, and Janine Roth in that weight loss mind-body skills group. Should be a great time as well. I also offer sacred path card readings in person or over the phone if that's something that resonates with you. And I accept prayer requests for the monthly new moon sacred pipe ceremony that I do. Finally, I have a whole bunch of coaching packages and self-care planning options. So if you're looking to really make 2014 a year where you do some serious transformation on that deep level, looking to cultivate self-awareness and self-care in a deep way, whether you have a chronic illness or dealing with a cancer diagnosis or you're just trying to be healthy, I think that I can be a support. I would love to be a support. So please be in touch with me about that as well. If you're interested in my coming to your area to speak on any spiritual or self-care topics, mind-body medicine, Native American healing techniques, hypnosis, things like that, I am happy to do that as well. So as we look to close tonight, I want you to think about the solitude of a quiet mind, how you can access that, how you can access that love at first sight concept that we talked about at the top of the hour, getting into that original beginning of time sight, to see yourself and others and the world through that lens. I think that powerful things can happen when we do look at the world that way, and when we do cultivate an awareness of self that helps us to hone in on the ways that we're meant to serve and be the most authentic expression of who we really are. And so I thank you for listening tonight. Again, any questions or comments, email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Our next show is March 10th. At 7 p.m., when our topic is the giveaway ceremony, relinquishing control. That ought to be interesting. Remember, tonight's show will air Mondays and Tuesdays at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, I wish you all moments of grace descending. Take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.